Listen to this Roth report for all the updates. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the Roth Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's the first Friday of the offseason here at Gillette Stadium of January 26th. You can listen to Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Brian Lowe is back for you to break down what's going to be happening during the offseason and some things to look forward to.
Laurie, this is the first Patriots roster report of the offseason. Nope, we're not talking about heading down to the Super Bowl this week. We're not analyzing, dissecting a Patriots-Bears matchup and how the Patriots roster shapes up for the Super Bowl. We are starting to look at offseason moves that the Patriots may or may not make. And boy, there certainly will be plenty of them as we get through the offseason. We'll just take care of a little bit of business first, the transaction from this week in which the Patriots, virtually a formality, signing players from their practice squad to the active roster because practice squads essentially disappear when the season ends. So Brian Barthelmes, Danny Bogger, Sean Boubin, Quadron Hill, Matt Kranchick, Tom Malone, and Santonio Thomas have been added to the active roster as the Patriots start to look at competition for next year's training camp. But certainly there are some unrestricted free agents the Patriots are dealing with. And
I got a question before we get into it.
Yeah.
Seven guys signed off the practice squad. I want to know what James Patrick did not to be the eighth.
It's a great point. That's a great point.
This is much more important. Much more important than Asante Samuel re-signing.
Because of all positions, defensive back, you figure maybe there is some room for competition.
But, no, I just thought it was strange.
But the Patriots, when is the last time a team has had three punters on their roster at this time?
You've got more punters than linebackers.
And if you include the two unrestricted free agent punters, Ken Walter and Todd Sauerbrunn, and then Josh Miller, the Patriots have five punters sort of in the mix. Now, obviously, you know, Ken Walter, you got to figure, is gone. Maybe Todd Sauerbrunn is re-signed, but quite a few punters to consider as we go forward. But I don't think punting is the number one off-season topic.
I was hoping you were
going
to move past that. Ask for an answer.
Well, maybe one of the July podcasts we can focus on punting when we have not much else to talk about.
Well, when we do the prospect report punters, we won't need to spend much time on the prospect. We'll talk more about all the guys that are here.
When we talk about specialists in the draft, we probably don't have too much time. We probably don't need to focus too much time on that. Let's get to some of the potential offseason moves. I guess the first sort of date on the offseason schedule, aside from Super Bowl and Pro Bowl, is the date that franchise tag must be placed on a player if you're going to choose to do it, and that's February 22nd. I think franchise and transition tag.
Yes.
The two guys who are candidates from the Patriots, cornerback Asante Samuel, tight end Daniel Graham. Your thoughts on those two and looking specifically at, are they candidates to have the franchise tag placed on them?
Well, clearly Samuel would be.
And not Graham.
I would think franchise. Well, you can only franchise one guy.
No, exactly. But
I would not consider. I don't. Yeah, I would not consider franchising.
And the numbers, I don't know if you guys have the specific. It's 7.7 something for cornerbacks and 4.2 or 3 million for a tight end in that ballpark.
Yeah, so I didn't think that was out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, if you're going to lose Samuel, would you franchise Graham for that? That's not that much money.
I don't think the money would be the deterrent. I tend to agree with Andy from the practicality standpoint that I don't think they're going to do it.
Right.
But I don't think the money is necessarily out of whack.
For what he does for this team, and I know he is probably more talented than maybe his role here has shown over the years and all that, but for what he does for this team, I just don't consider him
a $4.5 million player. I would agree with that.
Well, what do you think he commands on the open market? I mean, let's face it, that's really what it comes down to.
Well, it comes down to what you see him as. If you're a team and you see him as a starting tight end who can catch you 65, 70 balls, be a playmaker, and be a good blocker, mm-hmm. then I think maybe he's up in some of those dollar figures. But for what he does for this team, I don't put him there.
I think he's going to get big money.
I kind of do, too. I think he's, you know, he has a well-known reputation for being a good blocker. And, you know, I don't have the eye for analyzing how tight ends block, but I have to imagine that there's some truth to that. He's a capable receiver. He's not used maybe as much as a receiver here as he might
be. And I think that's what his agent is going to focus on when he talks to other teams is you look back at college, this guy can catch the football and do a lot in the passing game. It's just here he was asked not to do that.
Right.
And I think his agent's going to push that hard when he hits the open market.
Now, maybe I look more into this than other people do. I think when they named him a captain in the middle of the season that there's something to that. I don't know what. I don't know, and I don't know what I should really read into that. I feel like that there's something to that in terms of the future between the Patriots and Daniel Graham. I think it's so rare for a team to add a captain, especially a five-year veteran. It's not like when Rodney Harrison signed and he became a captain later in that first season. It was so clear that this is a 10-year veteran who has a lot to offer this team. It just struck me as unusual that a guy going into his contract year is named a captain during the season. I feel like that is going to make a difference when it comes to him coming back to the team. I don't know what it is.
Fred Kirsch agrees with you, by the way.
I feel like it was so unusual that, you know.
Not sure how that should make you feel with your alignment in series.
I
think it's somewhat irrelevant. I think it had mostly to do with the circumstances of this season and his brother, his family, his decision to place the Patriots and football very high on his priority list. And I think that was this is our kind of player. This is how we show you that we really appreciate what you're doing for this team and dealing with personal issues while putting the team first.
And I remember a few years.
Why aren't some other guys? You know, I mean, I agree
Ty Warren left first of all, and maybe Ty Warren will be a captain next year.
Right. I remember a few years back when Larry Izzo dealt with the situation with his dad, and he missed very little time. Now he was already a captain, so they couldn't make that ceremony of naming him a captain.
But he was praised.
He was and they made a big deal out of it, and we found out about it, which means they made an even bigger deal about it than we probably even know.
Right. So I think that had more to do with that than money or contract or anything like that.
Well, whatever it is, those two guys, Samuel and Graham, there's less than a month before a decision will have to be made on whether or not those guys are given the franchise tag. Now, about a week after that is when free agency begins. It's March 1st, 2nd, or right around there.
Contracts expire the 1st, and free agency starts the 2nd.
Midnight on the
2nd. Andy was all over the CBA this week. He's very up on all his minutia.
And by the way, just one quick thing on the franchise and transition tag. Yeah. I would assume you will hear Tom Casale and Andy Hart reporting from Bill Belichick his first words on the decision to franchise or not franchise Asante Samuel on February 22nd, maybe the 23rd, when we're in the combine.
You're saying that you two will be reporting first.
Yes, that'll be announced.
We will talk to Bill.
That'll be announced
if everything goes as
Tom and Andy will be there.
As planned, last year, the night after of that decision, we were speaking with Bill Belichick. So I would assume you can look forward to an update on Patriots.com. February 22nd, 23rd, in that area from Indianapolis.
Perhaps you'll be able to see the audio and video of that as well on some of the multimedia elements that we have here in the...
I wouldn't promise that.
I'm not promising that either.
Because it's generally an informal chat in the Shula's Lounge.
That's true. Well,
you know,
I'm not sure Bill would want a camera there.
Well, I'll talk to him about it. We'll see how he feels about it. But there are some
Tell him I said it was okay.
There are some other unrestricted free agents that the team has, and over the course of the next few weeks and months, we'll be getting into it. But Telly Bantakane, Troy Brown, they are among those, and it's certainly not unusual for this team or others before free agency actually begins to sign some of their own. And, you know, there's guys in the past like Don Davis, some of the guys who are maybe not the upper echelon players in this team, but
Heath Evans,
for
a guy who has said he wants to be back if they want him back and he doesn't care about money,
right?
Basically,
it would not be a shock if during the month of February Heath Evans is signed to an undisclosed contract before he gets to free agency. So there's items like that that will be coming about. And then, of course, as Andy mentioned, the combine. The Senior Bowl is tomorrow, and so certainly the draft, and we'll be having separate prospect podcasts as the draft nears. But, you know, the month of February is certainly an interesting one because of what we mentioned, the combine, the franchise tags, and just the build-up to free agency. And then the month of March, certainly we'll see what kind of unrestricted free agents the team brings in from the outside as well.
Go
ahead. I'm just going to talk about some of the things that came out this week in terms of veterans. Rodney Harrison coming out definitively saying he plans to return.
Right.
Corey Dillon's agent definitively saying that Corey plans to return. And Corey had made some mentions to people after the game that perhaps he was ready to hang it up. So, you know, maybe
that
was an
emotion. Which
I
wouldn't necessarily shoot down because the agent's going to say the player's going to return until the player doesn't return because the agent's trying to get his paycheck coming in.
Exactly. And, you know, it also could have been one of those situations where it's an emotional decision after the game. Maybe Corey, a couple days later has thought better of it. But an agent in both cases, Steve Feldman, was quoted in the local papers as talking about the respective clients there. Teddy Bruschi.
And Troy Brown,
Is a guy who, you know, I would expect to be back. But, you know, another guy that's kind of up in the air even though he's not a free agent at this stage of his career. So there's a lot of little things like that that could, if all together, if they all go
one
way against the Patriots could leave a pretty significant rebuilding job for a team that really was probably feels it should have been in the Super Bowl.
Right, and a team that, especially as we see on the defensive side, whether these guys come back or don't, a need to get younger, a need to get some infusion of youth and linebacker, defensive back, and regardless of whether some
kind
of these
guys double-edged sword. If Bruschi and Harrison come back, yeah, that's great. They've been part of the Super Bowl runs,
right.
But you know what? The Colts exploited that slow secondary and slow linebacking core, so you have to wonder how much they have left.
But I think you can do both, because if you can get a safety and a linebacker, well, now we bump, no offense, but Pierre Woods and Rashad Baker off the roster, and you have those guys coming in to play roles while you still have a Harrison and a Bruschi. I think you can do both on the run if you want to. I actually think it makes the job a lot tougher if Bruschi retires. Well, now you're drafting a linebacker who September 9th or whatever is starting. He has to play, and he has to be pretty good, or your defense is not going to be good.
Absolutely. Decisions like that will be made, and we'll see. And before the
huge
draft.
Huge offseason.
Huge offseason.
I don't think we can say it enough how big an offseason this is for the Patriots, for the near future, and for the long-term future of this franchise.
It cannot be overstated, in the words of Andy Hart, huge offseason. Well, we'll be with you all the way through the offseason every Friday with the Patriots roster report. And next week, the roster will probably look pretty similar, but as the weeks go on, there may be differences. So that's going to wrap up the Patriots roster report for this Friday, the last Friday in January. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's send it back to Lowe.
Thanks, guys. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!